Today we have the talk on planetary influences and human destiny. In recent times, in today's world, we often see a lot of importance and a lot of discussion given to the influence of planets on man, and similarly the influence of constellations. In fact, every culture around us, if we see, has reference to the planets, the constellations, and about astrology and about related prophecies made based on astrology. And this practice of astrology in today's time is quite prevalent. We have some other practices also, like the Chinese have their own way of predicting the influence of planets and the predicting the influence of nature on man, which they term as feng shui. In feng shui, they also consider the flow of water, the wind, the seasons, and relate man with different animals and effect of planets on animals and effect of planets on man. In India, mostly we have seen that there are lots and lots of practices and various rituals which are conducted to appease the gods. People are told by the astrologers that the time is not good, that certain planet is in certain aspect, in certain constellation, and for so many years, and that may cause such and such effect on them or on their family. And in order to appease the gods, they perform a lot of rituals. And this has become a big industry. Again, especially in the Indian region, we observe that during the time of marriages, they do a lot of horoscope matching. They try to understand the effect of the planets on the bride and the groom, and how best they can match, so that there is no ill effect after marriage, and the couple has a happy married life. In fact, people have gone to such an extent that they would get married to a particular partner if that marriage would bring more money in their life or more comforts in their life, based on the predictions of the horoscope matching. So we see a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of energy being devoted to such activities. But is it really that planets do influence us and the human destiny? So let's also not forget that millions of people every day, they start their day by reading the zodiac related predictions in the newspapers and in the magazines. The first thing which they do when they get up is read how their day will be. Now, if we consider overall, can we try to understand what astrology is and what types of or what branches of astrology are there? So on a higher level, if we see, we have genetical astrology, which talks about the various aspects about the fate of the individual. And then you have the mundane astrology, which talks about the circumstances of the nations and about the political situations and the wars. And then you have the atmospheric astrology, which talks about the coming changes and cataclysms and possible earthquakes in the nations. And then you have the horary astrology, which deals with questions of the inquirer who comes to a particular astrologer and is anxious to know about the answer. As per our ancients, we are told that the entire universe is actually linked and is interconnected and one with each other, and so is man. HPV, in her book Key to Theosophy, mentions the true astrology is only branch of occultism which in its exoteric teachings has definite laws and definite system. So herein a hint is given that yes, there is true astrology, and it is a branch of occultism wherein there are certain definite well-defined laws behind it. Now, in ISIS Unveiled, on page 259, HPB mentions, astrology is a science as infallible as astronomy itself, with the condition, however, that its interpreters must be equally infallible. And it is this condition, so very difficult of realization, that has always proved a stumbling block for both. Astrology is to exact astronomy what psychology is to physiology. In astrology and psychology, one has to step beyond the visible world of matter and enter into the domain of transcendent spirit, were we to record the failures and ridiculous blunders of astronomers, we are afraid they would outnumber by far those of the astrologers. So again, she mentions that definitely there is this science which is known as astrology, but again, it is the condition that the interpreters must be equally infallible, and at the same time it becomes a stumbling block. If we try to understand what is given in Theosophical Glossary, it talks about that again it is a science, and that this science defines the action of celestial bodies upon the mundane affairs and claims to foretell future events from the position of the stars. But again, if we see from the perspective of modern science and the scientists, they would not accept all this, and at the same time they would make fun of it, and at the same time there is another aspect of today's science wherein science is trying to explore and realize and even document that the moon has lot of effects on man. In fact, the various phases of moon has effects on the emotions and on the emotions of man, on the growth of plants, and all this is being documented, and yet science is in a confused state. Again, in ISIS Unveiled, in volume 1, page 208, it's mentioned about the father Kircher, who taught in 17th century. He said, the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars, he affirmed, are highly magnetic, but they have become so by induction from living in the universal magnetic fluid, the spiritual light. He proves the mysterious sympathy existing between the bodies of the three principal kingdoms of nature. So in 17th century also, there was this discussion and a well-known fact that all the planets, the stars, the sun, are actually linked, and they have become so by the induction of the universal magnetic fluid, that is the spiritual light. Again, it is mentioned on page 259 of ISIS, Proctor admits, the heavenly bodies do rule the fate of men and nations in the most unmistakable manner, seeing that without the controlling and beneficent influences of the chief among these orbs, the sun, every living creature on earth must perish. So, does this all mean that we are at the mercy of the planets and the stars and their positions, and at the time of birth, whatever the position is, that determines our entire fate and our life? Let's try to dwell on it further in the light of Theosophy and try to understand. HPV in Secret Doctrine, page 634, mentions, it is the spiritual evolution of the inner immortal man that forms the fundamental tenet in all the occult sciences. So, let's also see that we are taught that man is sevenfold. And we are also taught that we are not just this body. There is this presiding spirit or Maheshwara in all of us, in all, in within all the bodies. And this body is nothing but an instrument which we acquire during every birth in order to learn and for the soul's sake of gaining experience. So similarly, is it not that all these planets, these stars, they are also the visible bodies which we are observing through our eye? They also have within themselves the planetary spirits or the spirit presiding in them. In SD page 541, it is mentioned, the sun is the heart of the solar world system and its brain is hidden behind the visible sun. From thence sensation is radiated into every nerve center of the great body and the waves of the life essence flow into each artery and vein. The planets are its limbs and pulses. And further, we are told, there are only 7 planets and 12 houses, but the possible combinations of their aspects are countless. So this is an important point, that even though there are 12 constellations and 7 planets as mentioned, but there are possibility of their combinations and their aspects are countless. So who knows these combinations and who can understand that? That is one aspect which we should keep in our mind. It further says, as each planet can stand to each of the others in the 12 different aspects, their combinations must therefore be almost infinite. As infinite, in fact, as the spiritual, psychic, mental and physical capacities in the numberless varieties of the genus Homo, each of which varieties is born under one of the 7 planets and one of the said countless planetary combinations. So if we do little bit of math and try to see the permutations and combinations, and as rightly mentions, it's infinite. So there could be so many different aspects, combinations, effects and outcomes of all these. Every active power or force on earth comes to her from one of the 7 lords, is also mentioned in Secret Doctrine. So again, we see here that a particular astrologer or a particular person who claims to have the knowledge of so-called planetary influences on man, certainly, logically also, is not going to have all the knowledge of all these combinations. So another aspect which is mentioned in SD on page 641 is, we see in history a regular alteration of ebb and flow in the tide of human progress. The great kingdoms and empires of the world, after reaching the culmination of their greatness, descend again in accordance with the same law by which they ascended. Till, having reached the lowest point, humanity reasserts itself and mounts up once more the heights of its attainment, being by this law of ascending progression by cycles, somewhat higher than the point from which it had before descended. So again, if there was a branch of astrology which was, as mentioned before in the talk, which was dealing with the mundane astrology as mentioned, which foretells the circumstances of nations and the forecoming of wars and the political situations, isn't it quite obvious that, as mentioned by Madam in SD, that it is nothing but the law of cycles which is working. It is working on the level of nations, it's working in the life of man also. So if we try to further understand, the life of man is very tightly coupled with law of karma and law of cycles, which is nothing but the two facets of the same thing. So in order to actually realize and understand the actual impact or maybe try to foretell, the wise man also needs to know the law of cycles and law of karma and needs to be aware of the workings of the entire system of the universe in its in all its facets, in all its permutations and combinations. So again, a couple of interesting facts in SD. We are told that turning to the man, we find that on page 668, it's mentioned in volume 1, the descent and reascent of the monad or soul cannot be disconnected from the zodiacal signs. So certainly, there is some connection there. But if we always keep in our mind that the whole creation, in fact the whole universe, in fact whatever the mind can comprehend, is all linked and related. So certainly everything has an impact on everything, and vice versa. It is said, like each of the seven regions of the earth, each of the seven firstborn, the primordial human groups, receives its light and life from its own special dhyani, and from the place or the house or the planet. So with the seven great races to be born in it. And again, there is an interrelationship between the suns, the planets, the stars, the man, which is again shown in reference to volume 1, SD, page 635. The one cosmic atom becomes seven atoms of the plane of matter, and each is transformed into a center of energy. That same atom becomes seven rays on the plane of spirit and seven creative forces of nature radiating from the root essence. One the right, the other the left, separate till the end of the kalpa and yet are in close embrace. What unites them? Karma. So again here, the entire process of transformation of that center of energy and the formation of the world is again linked to nothing but the karma. So how is it that we further try to understand the destiny of man? In fact, we are told, like in Dhammapada, that man is nothing but what he thinks. We are what we think. Man is a bundle of thoughts. So how is it possible that the planets can impact us and yet we do not have control over it? In fact, it is not the planets which are impacting us. So that's what, let's try to understand. So it is mentioned that the real key to understand the value of knowledge of astrology or the influence of planets on man is the law of karma. So it is said that we are self-produced beings, like in SD volume 1 page 635 is mentioned. If the Dhyan Chohans and all the invisible beings, the seven centers and their direct emanations, the minor centers of energy, are the direct reflex of the one light. Yet men are far removed from these, since the whole of the visible cosmos consists of the self-produced beings, the creatures of karma. So, in fact, if you see from this perspective, the entire cosmos, the entire cosmos, not even our solar system, the entire cosmos is how intricately, directly linked with the law of karma. Just as we have produced ourselves in the far past, so now we are producing ourselves. Every moment we are changing. Every moment we are having impact on everyone else, and everyone else is having impact on us. We can think of this in terms of the entire cosmos, a vibrating unit, wherein we are vibrating on the frequency of our thoughts, and the net impact of all humanity, or in fact everything, is the net vibration of the whole cosmos. And each dynamically trying to harmonize each other's vibration. So we produce causes in this way, and these particular causes, we are told that awaken and awaken corresponding powers in the sidereal world. So it is actually in this aspect that the teachings could be understood, and we can give more insight and value to the knowledge of astrology. So we should also realize one more very important fact, that in our life, when we see most of the people around us, as discussed earlier, that it's a common trend that if in life things are not working fine, people run to astrologers, they try to predict their future, and they find out that certain planet is in certain position, and let's say, for example, they say that Saturn is the worst, and that some 12 or 14 years of Saturn is going to happen, and that is going to create a lot of problems, so on and so forth. We must first realize that nothing can harm us, and also we must realize that it is our own creation, and that therefore we cannot actually blame anybody, neither our friends, relatives, parents, nor the God, nor the devil, or our fellow being. It is not the stars actually, and or the constellation that bring us the trouble and sorrow. They are but as they were actually, and it is we who should be responsible for our situation. It is our thoughts. It's the cumulative thoughts or the cumulative karma which we have generated over our previous lives and from the beginning of this particular life. So the present acts, thoughts and feelings are again nothing but written on the wall of the future, which is nothing but the progeny of the present. So we actually do not have to be submissive and submit to the influence of stars, nor do we need to try to fight it by performing certain rituals and certain pujas and certain donations and so on and so forth. We need to understand that it is the eternal aspect of the cyclic law and the law of karma which is important. So it is said in volume 1, Secret Doctrine, page 639, yes, our destiny is written in stars. Only the closer the union between the mortal reflection man and his celestial prototype, the less dangerous the external conditions and subsequent reincarnations. Now, again, it is also said that the danger of trying to find out what is going to happen in the future in more or less detail is that we all start to tend to live in those particular hopes and fears. Let's say some astrologer comes and tells you that maybe after 5 years on this particular date you will become a billionaire, and all your thought focus and life energy is focused on that event of becoming a billionaire and hoping to become a billionaire. However, on the contrary, the same astrologer will tell you that after 5 years on so and so date you will meet an accident and you will die. So all these 5 years you will be continuously thinking of that fear, and you won't be actually using the opportunity life has given for this time. You will be wasting your time, energy, and just life will be a total waste. So what happens is we tend to take a negative attitude towards life, and instead of using what knowledge we have, we waste our time. And one must also bear in mind, as mentioned in Isis Unveiled, item 5, arcane knowledge misapplied is sorcery, and beneficently used true magic or wisdom. So what we see around us is like when we see the stars, the constellations and various positions of the planets, we should think of it as like the clock which is on the wall. So when we see the clock, we see that it shows a particular time. Now the machinery behind that is such that it is actually trying to tell you the time. But does that clock or the various clocks around the world, does that impact the time. The time, if we think of time, which is again man-made convention, it is eternal, it is eternal duration, it is going on. But the clock doesn't change. It is just a mode or an apparatus or apparatus to give you the indication. So similarly, the planets do not have control over our destiny. The planets actually are nothing but indicators of the possible forces in nature and their possible impact. And as discussed earlier, nobody in this universe except the wise ones, the knower of all, can in fact tell exactly what is the meaning of those particular combinations of planets. So let's say you were born in a particular time and there were certain constellations and certain planetary positions. What in fact happens is, it is not only the planetary positions which are indicators, it could even be anything else. It could be the wind also, it could be the electromagnetic field also where you are born, which could be indicative of certain things. So it is the indicator and not influencing. However, this particular aspect has been misused by so many astrologers in money making practices and trying to use various scare tactics to make money. Now we are also taught that actually there is only one life, there is one being. Now this one life pervades and it connects everything else. So in fact, all the planets and stars, the entire cosmos, the macrocosm and the microcosm man, in fact everything is linked and connected. Now as we discussed, because of this link, every thought has impact on each another. And we should also know that all thoughts of humanity are impressed on the astral light and the Akasha. So what is happening is the net of these vibrations which are produced formulates and synthesizes our world, our life, our the events around us. Even the flow of a wind is linked, the climatic changes is linked, the condition of humanity is linked with everyone else. So what we further try to understand, that astrology is nothing but a science which, having determined the nature of the laws that govern these vibrations as discussed, is able to state in a precise and a particular manner the series of result, the causes of which have already been sown in our previous or current lives. So actually we should remember that the astrologer, just based on his or her very limited understanding of the laws of nature, can just try to attempt or touch the surface to predict in a very vague manner the aggregate result of the indications of these planetary positions, and in no way change or transform your life or the lives of the person by doing various rituals and making him wear various stones and metals. So it is again very essential for all of us to understand the law of karma and the law of cycles. So in the aphorisms of karma, we have been mentioned by WQJ. Let's go through them quickly so that we get an idea in the right direction about what we are discussing. The first aphorism talks about, there is no karma unless there is a being to make it or feel its effects. So if we, humanity or the beings itself is not there, there can't be any karma. And again, like we discussed, karma is tightly, intricately linked with the law of cycles. The second point says, karma is the adjustment of effects flowing from causes, during which the being upon whom and through whom that adjustment is effected experiences pain or pleasure. So it is the adjustment of effects flowing from causes. So when certain situations happen in our life, in man's life, whether it's pain, pleasure, or is it any kind of a situation, it is the effect which is flowing from causes which we have own created. It is not anything which is coming from the planets or the planets impacting us. And again, it is an undeviating and unerring tendency to restore the equilibrium. So that way, if we consider the entire cosmos itself is based on the law of karma, wherein everything is trying to restore that equilibrium. And in order to restore that equilibrium, there are certain effects which we are observing. Now, it is also mentioned that karma operates on all things and all beings, from the minutest conceivable atom up to Brahma. So if we were to go to an astrologer and he were to perform some ritual and say that, okay, this planet is in this position, so that effect will be is bad for you, but because of this puja that effect will go away. How can that be possible? If karma from the minutest atom to Brahma impacts and affects and regulates the events, then how can an astrologer change that? Again, certain other aspects in the aphorisms which we should dwell upon is that karma is not subject to time, and therefore he who knows what is the ultimate division of time in this universe knows karma. Now, when we try to find the planetary influence at a particular time, we are looking from Earth as a center, and then all the zodiac signs and planets in those constellations from Earth as a center. But then we don't even know the exact ultimate time or division of time on which the cosmos is based. How can we make appropriate or precise calculations? Again, like we discussed, as mentioned, the karma of this earth is a combination of acts and thoughts of all beings of every grade which were concerned in preceding Manvantara. So, in fact, it is so dynamic that the thoughts and the combination of acts and thoughts of all beings is so dynamic, because every moment man is generating thoughts, every moment the entire humanity is generating thoughts. So the net, knowing the net of is impossible from the human comprehension. Let's consider one last aspect of this, is birth into any sort of body and to obtain the fruits of any sort of karma is due to preponderance of the line of karmic tendency. So when a person is born in a particular family and the astrologer says that you are born in this family, you are born with a silver spoon, you have this yoga, you have that yoga, but is that appropriate to say? It is based on the fruits of the karma which is generated due to the preponderance of the line of karmic tendency. So every life, let's say consider our present life, from childhood till now, we have been thinking in a particular direction, or the net majority of our thoughts and majority of our actions have been inclined towards a particular direction. Let's say there is a person who is a real estate agent. He is busy getting lot of property, selling lot of property, his all focus is there. And similarly, there is another person who is a businessman. His main purpose in life is making money. On the contrary, let's say there's another person who's not so interested in making materialistic gains, but his main purpose in life is to try to find out what's the truth about life, what is the purpose of life. And similarly, there is another person who is neither this way nor that way and is just drifting away with the sensations of life and living just because he doesn't know what to do. So that creates a line of karma, a line of thought, a powerful tendency, which again leads us to the next life, wherein it provides similar environment, parents, and so on and so forth. It is not the planets. Planets would be the indicators of what could happen, but again, a lot of profound knowledge is required for somebody to actually understand the science of astrology. So, it is said that only the true astrologer who knows the laws of cycles, who knows the laws of nature, the laws of karma, from a holistic point of view of the one life, which is the container and at the same time the sustainer of all, can know the actual meaning of the positions of the stars and constellations. So in Isis, HPB mentions, to express divine ideas, divine language is necessary. So in fact, if someone were to write a book on astrology and the influences of planets on man, cannot even actually write in totality, because in order to express divine ideas, divine language is required. So that itself cannot be communicated easily. In Zanoni, Bulwer Lytton, the author, mentions, for the accomplishment of whatever is great and lofty, the clear perception of truths is the first requirement. Truths adapted to the object desired. The warrior thus reduces the chances of battle to combinations almost of mathematics. He can predict a result if he can, but depend on the material he is forced to employ. So it is quite clear actually that the conditions of success in astrology, or trying to determine the so-called indications which these planetary positions give, is actually based on pure life. It is the physical, moral and spiritual purity of the so-called astrologer, and only then it is possible for that astrologer, apart from knowing the laws of karma and cycles, to see, or possibly see in the tablet of the astral light or akasha, these various combinations, and think of predicting it, as beautifully mentioned in Zanoni. So we also have a couple of interesting aspects or questions which were asked to William Cohn Judge, which were printed in Theosophical Forum in 1890. It seems quite appropriate to discuss that here, which we'll do it right away. One question was asked to William Cohn Judge. If all our sufferings in this life are caused by the misdeeds of a former life, how can any combination of sidereal influences at birth affect our fate? WQJ says, a thorough acquaintance with the doctrine of karma and with what is actually claimed for astrology by those qualified to speak would result in an answer to this question. Astrology is not soothsaying nor card reading. Reading omens is soothsaying. Reading cards is a form of divination. Astrology is neither of these. All that is claimed for it is that the whole assemblage of stars indicate, as being a vast machine, just exactly what is the state or condition of any one spot in the whole mass. Is this any more absurd than to say that the watchmaker can tell from the movements of a watch just where the hands will be in any particular moment? And likewise, from the hands alone, where the different cogs and other parts within the watch will be. If common minds, and ignorant as well as venal practitioners of astrology, make a stock of their initiations, wrong conceptions and base use of it, that is no reason why Forum should sweepingly denounce astrology. And further he goes on to say, karma governs all worlds up to Brahma. We reply to the question that our karma and the stars are inextricably linked together, for if we had no karma, there would for us be no stars. That's a very powerful statement. For if we had no karma, there would for us be no stars. It is just because the karma of any being at birth is fixed from his prior one that the great clockwork of the skies shows unerringly to the sage. But not to the dabbler, nor to the modern abusers of astrology, the karma or the present fate of the being. So it's quite clear that it is just indicative. And again, there is an interesting discussion on astrology from one of the reprinted from Theosophy, Volume 9 in 1921, in which Robert Crosby talks about the question, do planets as such have influence upon us? So he says, we make ourselves the slaves of planetary influences. I once knew a man who was a very nice man, very nice and as honest as any of us. He stayed home one day. Oh, I forgot to say that he followed the stars, or perhaps they chased him. And he had it all figured out for every hour, every day, every week, every month and every year. He got sight of some conjunction that intimated to him that he was going to break his leg next day. Well, he just thought he would get ahead of that. So he stayed at home. His wife asked him to put up a curtain. He went up on a stepladder and you know the rest. So basically he went up the ladder and he fell down and he broke his leg, which he had predicted that he will break his leg, and he didn't go out of his house. And there was an influence that was very hard, very bad. But what made it? What precipitated it? His own special attitude, of course. He had no reason to break his leg, for you can have no attraction for a thing you don't think about, whether you like it or you don't like it. Either way of thinking about a thing affords the attraction for that thing. His thinking about it was what precipitated the mishap. So here a very important lesson is given to us, that his own special attitude, he had no reason to break his leg, but his thinking, the way he thought, the way he feared, the way he anticipated that event to happen. So isn't it so much so happening in our own world? When we go to an astrologer and talk about the planetary influences, he with his limited knowledge tells us something, and we try to start think about it, anticipate it, and in fact we attract it in our life, and it may precipitate also. And doesn't it give us a very important clue that in fact we are the masters of our own destiny? It's not the planetary influences. We as man has the free will, and man itself is the creator, to direct his thoughts in the right direction, or in fact in any direction where he wills, to achieve whatever he wills. So given that, there is another interesting fact which is mentioned here by Robert Crosby. He says, the logic of the special attitude can be seen working even in the animals. He says, I remember a little mongrel dog one day going along on the other side of the street. On the side of the street where I was, a lot of other dogs, good-natured, good-looking dogs, were all playing together. This little fellow was going along all right, minding his own business, when he suddenly caught sight of those other dogs on the other side of the road. He trembled and sat down and wrapped his tail on the sidewalk. By and by he got the courage to take a few more steps. Then he looked over and sat down and wrapped his tail again. And a few more steps and he would sit down again, and so he went on further. Now those dogs didn't notice him at all in the first place. Then all of a sudden they saw him and made a rush for him with one accord. He would have been all right if he had gone on and minded his own business. But by his fear, he attracted the influence and things that he feared. So isn't it so interesting? Even in animals this happens. Even in our life it happens. We have all seen this. For example, when we are small, we go to give our exam, and it's a board exam or a very important entrance exam, and we already have that fear. Oh, if it is physics or mathematics, it's complicated and this and that. And similarly, every aspect of our life, whether you are working, or whether you are expecting your child to be born, or whether any critical situation in life, you attract all different kinds of fears. In fact, this anxiousness itself attracts. So if we were to rely totally on the law of karma, come what may be, if it is our due, it will happen. And that's the best. So if we have reliance, self-reliance, and if we have true realization of law of karma, the workings of karma, and if we are responsible for our thoughts and actions, then automatically things will align, and automatically the vibrations which we are generating on the thought plane will harmonize with the one being, with the one life. So in order to conclude, what have we understood? So in short, it is true, astrology is a mathematical science. It is a very perfect, well organized science which teaches us what particular causes will produce what particular combinations, and thus understood in this real significance, it gives us the meaning of obtaining the knowledge how to guide our future births. So in today's world, there are none or very few such astrologers, and even if they are, they will not predict in order to gain money or in order to gain some materialistic thing or anything which is personal or selfish. And at the same time, we must also note that out of these mathematical laws and numberless combinations, as we discussed, a good amount of these combinations and possible results of them have been already recorded by our ancients. And all these combinations, there are huge number of combinations, as we discussed, infinite, but most of them are there, and some of them out of these recorded are also available, a few are available in the public domain. And using these, the astrologers of today try to predict something, and by hook or crook, using these, they might be successful in giving some little bit of true predictions, or which may seem true to us. But that doesn't mean that they know the entire knowledge. So, what we should also finally realize that we as men are the creators of our own destiny, and not the stars or the planets, and we cannot actually run away or in any way change our destiny by wearing the various stones, by performing the rituals, or by running towards the astrologers, or by getting fear of the unknown. So we should completely take responsibility for our thoughts and actions and situations of our life, and not bring any fear in ourselves, because when fear comes, that's the first sign that we are not relying on the law of karma. That's the first indicator. And again, we also need to understand that the moment we try at least to live the higher life, we try to think in the right direction, we try to help our fellow men, we try to create a harmonious environment in our family, in our neighborhood, and that's when we start to have self-reliance and lead a clean life. And living this higher life will in fact provide guidance from inside and will provide protection, and this is the sure way, because then we will not be relying on anything but ourselves and our higher self. So for today's talk, these were the couple of important pointers. And in secret doctrine, if we see, there are numerous hints given which talk about the so-called indications of the planets. In fact, there is another interesting mention in secret doctrine where it is mentioned that every planet has a sister planet, and in fact Venus is again the sister planet, or Earth being the sister planet of Venus, and whatever happens on Earth happens influences Venus, and likewise. So it also again gives us an important indication that there is a vast amount of knowledge which we have not even seen the tip of the iceberg or not even seen the surface, wherein the interrelation and the interconnection of everything in this universe, from the atom to the Brahma, exists, and which is governed by the law of cycles and the law of karma.